when he got baptized by John the Baptist, or maybe from the time of his first miracle when he turned water into wine. But none of these alternatives are correct, because Galatians chapter 4 tells us that Jesus was born under the law. If you study Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, you will see that Jesus was born under the law, and he came to redeem us from the law, so that we could be granted the adoption as sons, so that you and I could be sons of God. So Jesus was born under the law, meaning that he lived, he was born under the circumstances of the law. He was born and lived and worked under the law until he died on the cross. So Jesus actually, before he died on the cross, was working in and through and under the old covenant. But when he operated, he gave us a foretaste of what would become ours when the new covenant was fully in force. Just to prove to you when the new covenant started, I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 16 to 17. Because remember, again, the book of Hebrews is about the author telling us today that the new covenant is greater and has replaced the old. So the author actually here speaks about the exact time when the new covenant started. He says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, "For where there is a testament," and this word for testament in the Hebrew is the same word that is used for covenant. So he's referring here to the covenant while he's talking about the testament. I start again from the beginning. Hebrews 9, verse 16, "For where there is a testament or covenant, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament or covenant is enforced after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." So the author here makes the comparison of when you inherit from, for example, your parents. You can't inherit, you can't get the testament, so to speak, when your father or mother is still alive. They must die first, and when they are dead, you will inherit from them. The same it is with the old versus the new covenant. The old covenant could only end when Jesus died on the cross. Someone had to die for the new covenant to start. So it's very clear here that the new covenant started from the moment when Jesus died on the cross. You know, when he was hanging on the cross, just before he took his last breath, he cried out, "It is finished." He was talking about that the old covenant was finished, and because of that, the veil in the temple, the Jewish temple, was torn in part, so that basically as a sign that the way to God is now open, not only for the Jewish people, it's open for everyone. We can come into the Holy of Holies, to the most holy place. We can boldly come to the throne of grace and have fellowship with God and find help with all of our needs that we have. So it's clearly here from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 to 17, and the context, that the new covenant could only start when someone had died. Who is that someone? Jesus Christ. And when he cried out, "It is finished," he had fulfilled the law and the prophets. He had ushered us in to the new covenant. And then I come to this follow-up, this rhetorical follow-up question. Why is it so important for us today to know when the new covenant started? Well, I explained it already. For us to know what in the Bible applies to us today, literally, so we know what we are supposed to act upon and what we are supposed to read and try to discover Jesus through. To give you an example, because I said that Jesus actually, before he died on the cross, operated under the law, although he gave us a foretaste of what would be ours in the new covenant. Just to give you an example, a few examples of this, you know, there was a Gentile lady who came to Jesus and wanted him to cast out a demon from her daughter, because her daughter was demon possessed. And Jesus said, you know, it's not right to take the children's bread. It's my right to take what belongs to the people of Israel and give it to dogs, that is, Gentile people, Jesus said. So Jesus called this Gentile lady a dog. That's not very nice. But if we study Ephesians chapter 2, we know that because of the cross, the difference, the separation wall between Jews and Gentiles have been torn apart. So now we all have the same access to God. So if Jesus was walking on earth today after the cross, he would never call the lady a dog. But he did it because he still operated under the old covenant. And in the old covenant, only the Jewish people had access to God. And their access wasn't perfect, but they had more access than the Gentiles. But because of the cross, the separation wall has been broken, and we have unlimited access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. One other example. Before the cross, Jesus sent out his disciples to go and preach the good news, and he told them like this: only go to the lost tribes of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. Only go to the Jewish people. But that was before the cross. But after the cross, when Jesus had ushered in the new covenant, the message is totally different. Jesus, after he had raised from the dead, said, go out into the whole world and make disciples of all nations. So it's so important for us to know, was it before or after the cross? Because that makes the difference between the old and the new covenant. But we also need to understand that some things, or many things that was said before the cross, referred as a prophetic foretelling of the new covenant. So that's why we need to have the Spirit of God revealing these things to us when we read the Bible, so that we apply it correctly. The Old Testament is full of things that applies to us in the new covenant today, because it's a prophetic book pointing us to Jesus and the new covenant era in which we live now. A third example, there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus like this: what must I do to get eternal life? And this was before the cross. So he comes and says, what do I have to do? What do I have to perform to get eternal life? And what did Jesus answer? Well, remember, he hadn't died yet. He hadn't raised from the dead yet. So he couldn't preach the full gospel to them and say, well, you got to believe that I have died and that God has raised me from the dead. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. He was still under the old covenant. And because of that, he had to operate according to the old covenant. So what did he ask the rich young ruler? He asked, have you kept the commandments? You know, Jesus tried to point him to the fact that he had not kept the commandments, and because of that, he needed a savior, he needed Jesus. But this rich young ruler, he thought that he had kept all his commandments. He thought that by his own good works, his own righteousness, he could get eternal life. And then Jesus said to him, because he was very rich, and he said, go and sell all your possessions and then follow me. But what happened? The rich young ruler went away disappointed, because he didn't want to get rid of all his riches. You know, and by that Jesus showed him that, you know, he hadn't kept the commandments, because the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods beside me. But this rich young ruler, he had a god called Mammon. He was worshipping money. So Jesus was basically telling him, no, you haven't kept the law. You need to believe in me like everyone else. But after the cross, when the Apostle Paul got the exact same question, you know, Paul and Silas were in jail. They were in jail because of preaching the gospel, and they were singing worship songs to the Lord, and then God made an earthquake happen so that the gates of the jail was open and everything, you know, and you probably know the story. And then the jailer, he was convicted by this, because he had heard their worship and he saw God's intervention. And so he asked Paul after the cross, what do I have to do to be saved? And what did Paul answer after the cross? Did he tell him like this? You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to keep the law of Moses. No, that's not what Paul said, because he operated under the new covenant. He was a minister of the new covenant. So he said, believe in Jesus and you and your house will be saved. So in the new covenant, it's all about believing in Jesus and trusting in what he has done for us. So what I'm trying to say here is that we need to know when the new covenant started in order for us to correctly apply what Jesus said, because sometimes Jesus spoke to the Jews and sometimes Jesus spoke based on the situation under the old covenant, like for example when he called the Gentile lady a dog, which Jesus would never do today, because today Jews and Gentiles all, no matter who you are, no matter what background you are, you can come to God through Jesus Christ by believing in him. Doesn't matter your religious background, you might be a Muslim, you might be a Hindu, you might be an atheist, but the power of God is touching you in this radio broadcast, so that somehow the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and I want you to know, you might be an agnostic, whoever you are, come to Jesus, believe in him, call on his name. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Hallelujah. So, we have established that there is a difference between before and after the cross. And now I'm going to go to some of the important differences between the Old and the New Covenant, because that's the subject. You know, the Old Covenant is all about the law of Moses, while the New Covenant is based on the finished work of Jesus. The Old Covenant was about rules and regulations, that we have to keep all of these rules to be acceptable for God. But the New Covenant is all about grace, which means unmerited. We get something from God that we haven't merited by our own. It's a free gift. In the Old Covenant, we get what we deserve. We do good and God be good to us. But in the New Covenant, here comes the good news. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus has deserved for us. Hallelujah. In the Old Covenant, we are not blessed, so we are saying to God, God, bless me. I need your blessings. Come and bless me, God. Come down. In the New Covenant, it's totally different. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So in the Old Covenant, we are not blessed, but under the New Covenant, we are blessed because of Jesus. Under the Old Covenant, we must perform, we must do good things for God to be pleased with us and love us. In the New Covenant, there's a better deal for us. We are accepted in the Beloved, which is Jesus Christ. We are pleasing to God because of Jesus. He has given us his own righteousness. And because he has given us his own righteousness, we're not going to go out and sin and do bad stuff. We're going to live righteously. We're going to live in accordance with whom we are. In the Old Covenant, and many Christians still live in the Old Covenant dynamics today, in the Old Covenant we are never holy, we are never pure enough, we always need to strive for something, we are never good enough, we need to grab hold, we need to be more holy, we need to be more pure. But the truth of the New Covenant is, you can study it for yourself in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14, where it says that through the offering of Jesus, we have been purified and perfected forever. Forever. So that means if you are a born-again believer today and you commit a mistake, because we all commit mistakes, even as born-again believers, then it doesn't mean that you lose your righteousness. You are still purified and perfected forever. You know, if a human being goes out and do something, maybe I bark like a dog. Let's say a human being does that. You know, there are some crazy people who do that, you know. That doesn't make you a dog. You barked like a dog and that wasn't good, but you are still a human being. That's the way it is with us who are born again Christians. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been purified. That doesn't mean that we always do everything pure, but it doesn't change our pure nature. We have been perfected and purified forever. So I want you to start looking at yourself, dear believer in Jesus today. Don't look at your shortcomings. Don't see yourself as not sufficient, not holy, because God has made you purified and perfected forever. Read in the New Testament, well, Paul was addressing the different churches in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Colossae, and wherever he wrote, he didn't say like this, "I'm writing you all sinners in Ephesus." That's not what he said. And we know, especially from the books of Corinthians, that there were sins going on in the church, so everything was not perfect among their lives regarding their conduct. But how did Paul greet them? He said, to you saints who live in Corinth, to you saints who live in Ephesus. So he was basically establishing to them, although their behavior was not always 100% correct, he established them. You are a saint. What is a saint? A saint is a holy person. And if you are a believer in Jesus, if you have been born again, God sees you as a saint today. In the Old Covenant, we are never righteous enough. There's always something that is not perfect. But under the New Covenant, as a gift, we have been given the free righteousness of God. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the Old Covenant, we are all sinners. And we are sinning, and there is always a new offering that must take place to cover for sin. In the New Covenant, we are new creations in Christ. We are made righteous. And the sacrifice of Jesus has once and for all removed the sins, not only of the Christians, but of the whole world. Hallelujah. I say this is good news, my friend. You know, if you read the Old Covenant, you will find in the books of Moses that our sins were punished to the third and fourth generation of our descendants. So some preachers today, they go out and say like this, if you sin, God's going to punish your third and fourth generation. But that's Old Covenant, my friend, because in the New Covenant, we read it in the beginning today, God says, I will make a new covenant, and your sins and your lawless deeds I will no more remember. Hallelujah. You know, under the Old Covenant, under the law, we are always reminded of our shortcomings, that we are not good enough. But remember, the New Covenant is the ministry of righteousness, meaning that God is constantly, although we have shortcomings, reminding us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Under the Old Covenant, we are not forgiven. Under the New Covenant, we are forgiven once and for all. Under the Old Covenant, which was the ministry of condemnation, we read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We were always condemned under the Old Covenant, but under the New Covenant, there is no condemnation for the one who is in Christ. Hallelujah. Under the Old Covenant, we are never good enough. In the New Covenant, we are complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Under the Old Covenant, there is a constant struggle to get hold of God's blessings. It's like, I'm never good enough, I'm never blessed enough, so I need to get hold of it. I need to cry out to God. But in the New Covenant, we have been blessed. He is in us and we are in Him. Under the Old Covenant, God is far away, so I need to call Him down. God, come down and help me. Under the New Covenant, Christ in us is our hope of glory. God is not far away, we are in Him. He lives in us. Hallelujah. Start using the authority and the power God has given you. He's not far away. He lives in you. Hallelujah. Under the Old Covenant, our own efforts will give us the victory. If we only pray, if we only fast enough, we will be able to defeat the devil because he's so strong. So we need to fight, strive. But under the New Covenant, Jesus has defeated the devil and brought him to nothing. He has conquered the devil. Hallelujah. And we are seated with Christ in the heavens. Hallelujah. Under the Old Covenant, we need to pray and fast to get authority over the devil. Under the New Covenant, we are seated with God in the heavens. He's under our feet. We belong to the body of Christ, and He has put everything under Christ, meaning we are included in Him. Our lives are hidden with God in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Under the Old Covenant, we always lack. We are never good enough. In the New Covenant, we are sufficient in Him. Under the Old Covenant, we don't have what we need. Under the New Covenant, Jesus is everything we need. And in Him, we have everything we need. Wisdom, strength, healing, provision. Jesus is the answer of everything. And He's not far away. He lives in us. Hallelujah. Under the Old Covenant, we are powerless. We don't have God's power, so we need to pray and fast for God's power to come. In the New Covenant, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you because you have Jesus in you. Do you see the difference, my friend? Under the Old Covenant, we are not healed, so we need to plead with God, heal us, heal us, heal us. In the New Covenant, by the wounds of Jesus, we have been healed. Hallelujah! I'm almost done with this second part. But why is it important to know the difference between the Old and the New Covenant? The answer is that if we don't know the New Covenant realities, we can never operate in faith. Because we can never be in faith. We are always trying to make God do things that He has already done through Christ. We don't see what we have. You know, and I believe every believer agrees that it's important for us believers to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Don't you think so? We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. We need Him. He needs to work. We need to let Him work through us. But I have news for you, and I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. That's the final word I'm going to read today before part 3, where we will pray for your needs and maybe answer your questions. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I say it in Swedish. Första Korinthierbrevet kapitel 2, vers 12. And it says like this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that has been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit's job is not to tell you what you lack. He's not doing that. That was the Old Covenant. You know, the New Covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. And what we see here is that He tells you, the Holy Spirit shows you what freely already has been given to you by God because of Christ. So sometimes as a believers, we maybe have failed. We don't feel righteous. Then the Holy Spirit is there and telling you, my son, my daughter, it's not about your perfection, it's about my righteousness. Because of me you are righteous. You are forgiven, not because of you have done everything perfect, but because I, my son, shed his own blood for your sins. He removed your sins. Sometimes we feel that we don't have God's power, so we need to pray and ask God, give me your power. And the Holy Spirit is there telling you that you have been freely given the power of God, power to heal the sick. If you are a believer, you can pray for sick. You can lay your hands on people. You can raise the dead. You can preach the good news and see God work through you. Because the Holy Spirit, He tells you constantly what has been freely given to you by God. And remember, we read in the beginning of this first session that the New Covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. You know, the Old Covenant was the ministry of death and of condemnation, but the New Covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. So if you want to cooperate today with the Holy Spirit, you better stick with the New Covenant, because the Holy Spirit, He has said bye-bye to the Old Covenant. He operates under the New Covenant. He's not telling you what you lack if you are a believer in Jesus. He's telling you what you already freely have been given in Him. But if you are not the believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there knocking on your heart. And He's doing that right now. And He's convincing you of the sin, of not convicting you of the sin, of not believing in Jesus. He's saying to you, my dear child, whoever you are, you might be in Africa, you might be sitting in your car right now, you might be in Sweden, and He's telling you, I love you with an unconditional love. I sent my son to die for you. Your sins are forgiven, but you need to receive Jesus. You need to say yes to Him. You need to say yes to what I did for you through my son. And you can do that by just praying after me right now. And I want to invite you to receive Jesus before we end this session. If you are not a believer and you want to be born again, you want Jesus to be your Lord, you realize that you need eternal life, and you, right now you are living in sin. You are living separated from God. You are not living in a close fellowship with Him. And the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart right now. And now is the time to receive. So I want you to pray out loud, because the Bible says that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised Him, and we confess Him as our Lord, then we are saved. So you are not getting eternal life through anything you can do or perform. It's not by your good works. It's not even by your Bible reading or prayer. It's a gift by you accepting Jesus. So if you want to say yes to Jesus, just pray. If you are in the car, if you are in the living room, maybe in the kitchen, wherever you are, you might be working as a cleaner right now, cleaning an office space, and God is working on your heart right now and saying, receive my Son, receive Jesus Christ. Pray after me, and you will receive Jesus right now. Just say like this, Father, thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Come and live in me right now. You are my Lord. Hallelujah. And my friend, I tell you, if you pray that prayer, something supernatural just happened. You became born again. The life of Jesus has moved into your heart. Now you are a son of God, a daughter of God. You are belonging to the family of God. I want to say congratulations. Amen.
They didn't tell me who I was. They never told me what I could accomplish, who I could be. They put the shackles on and the limits on. But God used music in order to free me by increments of all the bondage. Until I could move past what people thought of me. Until I could move past people's opinion. Until I could move past people's naysaying. Until I could see in me what others wouldn't tell me was there. Hallelujah. And I was a little boy who had deformed hands, you know, webs between my hands and arthritis in the fingers, who people would look at and say, oh, your hands are ugly. But one day, a man by the name of Andre Crouch met a little 11-year-old boy sitting on the front row of Bethel Gospel Tabernacle. And I was the only one left in the room waiting for him to come out, and he came out and he said, hey, young man, what are you doing here? I was 11 years old. I said, I'm waiting for you. 1971, I'm waiting for you. He said, are you born again? I said, yes, sir. He said, I was born again when I was 9. I said, me too. He said, well, do you sing and play, or do you play the piano? I said, no, sir. He said, I didn't either. My father prayed for me when I was 11. I said, I'm 11. You're laughing. He said, my father prayed for me. I said, my father can't pray for me because he's not born again. And Andre Crouch said, do you mind if I pray for you? And Andre Crouch laid his hands on my head, Mashonda Babahoy, and prayed one simple prayer. Lord, give him what you gave to me. Never take for granted the ministries that you sit under. Never take for granted the people that you run into. Because my pastor Marvin Wanis taught me one thing. He said, if the anointing is genuine, it's two things. If it's a genuine anointing, it's two things. It's tangible and it's transferable. Somebody's getting a transfer tonight. On this stage, in this congregation, through the television, somebody's getting a divine transfer tonight by the anointing. Somebody make some noise in this house. And then God opened up my ears to learn how to play the piano. No musical lessons, just absorbing what you heard. And then God started taking me. The way my music started was not any specific grandiose way. It came through the hymns. And when I was 9 years old, every Sunday in Bethel Gospel Tabernacle, every Sunday,
they would sing right before prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from this world of care and bids me at my Father's throne to make all my wants and my wishes known. At 9 years old, I knew all of the verses. In my seasons of distress and my grief, my soul has often found relief. And that's how I escaped out of the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petitions bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I can cast on him my every care and I'll wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. But when I was 9, that third verse got me. I would cry, 9 years old, sitting in the church, and I'm about to cry now. And I would cry when I heard the words of the third verse. And it was just, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. Until from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights I view my home and I take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop. And I'll rise up to seize the everlasting prize. My son, by the Lord. And I'll shout while passing through the air. Farewell. 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 Farewell, sweet hour of prayer. And they would sing songs in church. Hallelujah. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They would say, what can wash away my sins? You say, y'all don't remember that. What can make me whole again, Lord?
Right, we are still back on track. We have about 27 minutes to go on this special program. We are still waiting for your phone call. If you are hearing the sound of our voice, if you are following us here on this frequency of 94.9, listening to this broadcast, I'm asking and I want you, if you have any problem, if you have your cousin, or your children, or your mother, or your father, or your husband, or your wife, whoever is sick in the family. I think the time have come for you to stand as a gap for that person to receive their healing. Because our enemy will have a sickness, our enemy is disease, and a lot of us have these problems. So we cannot deny you have been going to hospital, you have been taking a lot of medicine, and it doesn't help you. But today we have a good news here, and that is why Pastor Yohan and his wife is here in the radio right now. They're about to pray. So I would like you, call us at our telephone number, studio number 031-33-51253, 031-33-51253, or 031-33-5154. Call us so that we can put all our feet together to receive that healing right now. And that is why we are here, trying to make sure that people get their deliverance. Thank you so much, Pastor Yohan, coming here to bless the people of God. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. Well, today, my friend, if you have sickness in your body, I want to tell you like this, that don't focus so much on your sickness right now. Try to forget about your sickness and start thinking about Jesus, that He loves you, that He loves you with an unconditional love, that He died for your sins, and that God raised Him from the dead, and that by His stripes, you know, the Bible says, by the wounds or the stripes of Jesus, we not only are healed, but we have been healed. It says in the prophetic psalm in Isaiah 53 about Jesus, it says that by His wounds we are healed. But after the cross, the Apostle Peter quotes this scripture and he says, by the wounds of Jesus we have been healed. So whatever your problem is right now, I want you to just, as a point of contact, if you have, put your hand wherever there is a problem in your body. You might have problem in your soul right now. You might be sad. You might be going through a depression. Put your hand on the heart right now. If you have a heart problem, put your hand there. If you have a knee problem, put your hand on the knee. Wherever you have a problem, if you have a problem with your eyesight, put your hand on the one or the two eyes that are affected by this problem. So we will pray right now, and that the power of Jesus will touch you. And just focus on Him and His love for you right now. Father, we pray for each and everyone in Africa, in Sweden, all over the world who are listening to this broadcast. Thank you that there is no distance in prayer and that you are everywhere. Thank you that you yourself, you are producing faith in people's hearts right now. It's not our faith, it's your faith that comes from the gospel being preached that is producing the result. And because of that, in the name of Jesus, I take my authority as God's servant and son, as a believer in Jesus, and I command every sickness, every spirit of infirmity to leave. I speak to cancer to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to ear problems to leave, hearing to be restored in Jesus' name. I speak to knee problems to be healed, back and spine problems to be healed right now. Heart problems be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your touching people with your love right now. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. Thank you that you died for our sins and by you also carried our sicknesses so that we don't have to carry it anymore. Thank you for your healing power touching that lady right now in the rural part of Africa. Thank you for touching her right now, for healing her right now, healing her from some point of problem with walking. I say stand up and walk in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Father, for touching people right now. And I'm going to give the microphone to my beautiful wife Tracy, who's going to keep praying for you. So keep be in a place of prayer. My wife has a couple of words for someone of you, and she will keep praying. So here she comes.
Let us continue focusing on the Lord, and let us keep praying. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're Jehovah Rapha. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord that healest earth, O God. Thank you, Jesus. In Exodus 23:25, you said you are the Lord that keep us free from every disease. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. While Pastor Johan was preaching, I saw there's a lady who is pregnant, and you've had several miscarriages, and you're worried about that this is going to also be one of them. You've had quite a lot of sickness, morning sickness, and the Lord is saying, I am with you. Stay focused on me. This, you're going to have this child. So don't worry about, don't think about other miscarriages that you've had. Just focus on to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for healing this lady in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Father, in Isaiah 53, like Johan said, Isaiah 53 verse 5, you said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Thank you, Jesus, for healing this lady in the name of Jesus. There is another person who injured your right arm, and it has been sore. You can't move it. It's so heavy that you can't do anything with your right hand. I ask you to touch it right now. The Lord is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for healing this person with a sore arm in the name of Jesus. I feel the power of God in your arm in the name of Jesus. You're getting healed right now. The power of God is touching that right arm, right arm, in the name of Jesus. There is another person who has had a scoliosis. The left palm cannot open. You've not opened your hands for 10 years. The Holy Spirit is healing you right now. I ask you to stretch your hands right now. Do what you haven't done before. Stretch your hands and your fingers and move them around in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I would like to ask anyone who has got any burden in the name of Jesus. We are standing in agreement with you right now. If you're believing God for finances, if you're believing God for salvation for your loved ones, we stand with you right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if two or three gather together in His name, He will be there in their midst. Thank you, Lord, for being with us right now. For every man and woman, that every need that you have, we pray in the name of Jesus that may God satisfy your need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I see a woman that has been believing God for his father to give his life to Christ. Your dad is retired and is almost going home, is in the time of going home, and you've been worried that he's not going to go to see our father because he's not given his life to Christ. I want to speak to you that he will not go home without receiving Jesus Christ. God is coming to him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for every man and woman that is listening to this program, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that their life will be transformed, that their life will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever has had any sickness and you have not been able to do something, we ask you that try to do something that you haven't been doing before. In the name of Jesus, we trust that the healing of God has taken place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Johan. Thank you, my sister. We are still expecting testimony. If you know that you have been healed or you have been delivered from one problem or the other, we are still waiting you our mobile 0764343387, our studio number 0313351253 0313351253. Give us a call and let us shame the devil, because the devil have come to kill, to steal, to destroy. The devil is tormenting. The devil is the one putting the sickness and disease in our body. So we must disgrace him. We must shame him. So you got to call us right now so that we can shame more the Satan. All right, my man of God, thank you so much. We have about 16 minutes. Thank you, my sister, for that powerful word of knowledge. And we are hoping that the testimony will come in soon or later through SMS or through our email. Our email you can write us is chrisabix@hotmail.com to give us a testimony so that we will continue to spread the glory of God all over the world. So right now, I would like to come back again to our guest, Pastor here, who is in this frequency now, 94.9, Pastor Johan. Would like us to look a little bit briefly into what you have preached today. You have given us some key important revelation about the Old and the New Testament.
Before you go and ask that question, Pastor Chris, I must interrupt you because the Holy Spirit is not done healing the sick yet. My wife had another word of knowledge. I'm going to give her the microphone again here.
There's someone who has had migraine for a long time. The Lord is healing you from migraine in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I receive it.
Touch your head in the name of Jesus.
I receive it. I
heal. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
I receive
it. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We receive it.
Holy Spirit. We bless your holy name.
I receive it.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I think I'm ready for any question.
Wow. Thank you. This is powerful. Those of you who are hearing the sound of our voice, I promise you, I don't know when I'm going to have you on here again. If you don't call, I'm sorry, maybe you're going to meet him in Africa where he will be in Kampala making a big crusade like a Rinbonki. But I'm happy that he's here. I will receive all the blessings if you guys don't want to call and receive yours blessing. I'm going to receive everything. All right, Johan, now I do believe we have seen worldwide, all over the whole world, in Africa, in Asia, in Brazil, about this mixture. We have a mixture problem here. People are still mixing the old and the new covenant. How do you think we can help them?
Well, the message must be preached. You know, you can only understand what has been revealed to you. So there has been too few Christians with this revelation. But, you know, this is not a new teaching. Believers have known about this for 2,000 years. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had a great revelation of the Old Covenant. But religion always tries. The devil uses religion to try to blinden us so that we cannot enjoy the privileges of being the sons and daughters of God. So he's trying to blinden us, and the devil is tricky in that sense that he leads us into religion, into performance, into that we must perform many good things. And of course, we all know that doing good is good. You know, God wants you to do good works, and when you are born again and when he works in and through you, we are created. We are supposed to do good works, but our good works won't give us right standing with God. It's impossible. It's only the grace of God that can accomplish that. So the devil uses those things that are good, that is doing good, and try to lure us into living in a performance-based system where we relate to God based on our performance, how much we have prayed, how much we have fasted, how much we have done this, how much we have done that. And he leads us into legalism and slavery. And Jesus came to set us free from that. Take Bible reading, for example. I believe every Christian should read their Bible every day. I believe like it's wonderful. But it's possible to be a Christian and read Bible because of condemnation. You might think like this: if you don't read five chapters every day in the Bible, God's not going to be pleased with you. But that's religion, that's performance, that's old covenant. It's not the new covenant. The thing is like this: God is pleased with you because of Jesus. because you are his child. And when you discover that, the more you discover that, the more you want to read the Bible, and you want to read them every day. There was a famous preacher who said like this: if you have missed reading the Bible one day, you should never feel condemned, because there is no condemnation in Christ, and God is not condemning you. It's not like God is saying, you haven't read the Bible, I don't like you today. God is not saying that. That's the voice of the accuser. That's the devil. But when we really understand God's love for us, if we miss reading the Bible one day, we shouldn't feel condemned. We should feel hungry. That's what the preacher said. Because God, he fills us with his word. It's like bread for us. It's like food. We need to feed on him. We need to feed on his goodness. So we need basically to, Pastor Chris, we need to penetrate the world with this message about God's grace and the new covenant. That's the only way people can change.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Man of God, when you were speaking about these two covenants, you do mention in the, according to the new covenant, that to become born again, we only believe. Mm-hmm. Then how do we become born again in the old covenant? How do they become born again?
Well, that's a very good question. And actually, you know, Abraham was living. There is only one way to be saved, both under the old and the new covenant, actually. Only one way. But look at the Old Testament. And Abraham, he actually lived before the law, so he wasn't in the Old Covenant. But if you study the Bible, you will see that Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. So under the Old Covenant, although you live under the law, that could never save you, because no one could ever keep the law. So the only way to be saved was to believe in God. And they had a limited revelation of Jesus, so they couldn't believe in Jesus the way you and I can today. But we see in the case of Abraham that he believed God, and God accredited that for righteousness. But the thing is like this: you and I who live after the cross, and Jesus has come, we know that he has died for our sins and he has raised again from the dead. We don't have the same righteousness as Abraham, although we are children of faith after Abraham. Because Abraham believed God, he couldn't really see Jesus clearly. He somehow in the spirit knew that somehow God would reveal himself to the world later. But he basically believed God's word to him at that point. And that was accounted to him as righteousness. But we who are born again believers, who live after the cross, we who believe that Jesus died for our sins and raised again, we have been given, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Abraham, he had an accounted righteousness. He was still a sinner in the sense that he didn't get the new nature. Today when he lives in heaven, I believe he has a new nature. I don't know all the theology about that, but I know that we who live after the cross, we have received a new nature. We are new creations in Christ. So the only way you could be saved under both covenants was to trust in God. And for us who are in the new covenant, we must believe in Jesus.
Wow, thank you so much. But Abraham, as you are saying, it's like grace was credited into his account. Did Abraham confess his sin and repented and baptized?
It says nothing about that. It says that he had faith in God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness.
So that means if we look at what happened with Abraham, we can also see the picture of grace. Because grace, since it's a free gift, it's been given, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. So it was given freely to him.
Exactly. And remember that Abraham, he had shortcomings in his life. So it was not based on his performance. You know, he almost gave away his wife 2 times to other men. You know, so he had fear in his life. So he had shortcomings. But it was the faith in God that made him being accounted as righteous by God. And it's the same with us. We have faith in Jesus. It says, in spite of all your shortcomings and problems, believe in Jesus. Believe that he died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead. And then you are made. You don't only get an accounted righteousness as Abraham. You are made into a new person. You're a new creation in Christ. His righteousness becomes your righteousness.
Secondly, again, I would like you to differentiate the pattern that Peter used and Paul used to make people born again. Peter always tells the people, repent from your sin and also believe, then you will be saved and be born again. But it, I don't know about the pattern of Paul, because you can see in the book of Ephesians chapter 1:13, it says only believe and
then
you will be sealed by the Holy Spirit.
It's not so different, actually, when you understand the meaning of repentance in the original Hebrew and the original Greek, which was the language of the New Testament. Repentance actually means to change your thinking. You know, it has to do with changing your mind. Some people believe that when we repent, we change our behavior. And if we only change our behavior, we will be saved. But that's not how it works, because we can't change our behavior without Jesus. But what happens is that when the gospel, the good news, is being preached, we hear about it and we repent by changing our thinking. Paul talked about repentance from dead works as being the foundation of salvation. What is a dead work? It's basically works we do to try to earn salvation from God. So when we repent from that, when we repent from thinking, I can earn my own salvation, I can be good enough to be saved, and start trusting in Jesus instead, that's when we are saved. And remember when the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost was talking and preached repentance, he was talking to the Jewish people. The Jews lived under the law, so they were trying to be saved by their own performance. So Peter was actually saying, repent and receive Jesus for the remission of your sins. You can't save yourselves by following the law of Moses. There is a different way, a new way. Repent by believing in Jesus. So my point is like this. It's not about our performance to be saved, and we can't repent in the sense of changing our behavior to come up to a certain level so that we'll be saved. No, but the fruit of true repentance is a holy lifestyle. When you and I let Jesus come in our hearts and he gives us a new nature, eventually we might stumble in the beginning as a newborn child. When he's before he can walk, he falls a little bit, but since he's a human being, he will eventually start walking correctly. The same it is with us who are born again. We might stumble a little bit, our performance will not be perfect after we receive Jesus, but as we walk with him, we will live a holy lifestyle. So repentance is not the fruit of salvation in the sense of behavior modification. It's not the root of salvation, excuse me. It's the fruit of salvation. And true repentance is to change our minds, to let go of all of our dead works, let go of trying to earn God's acceptance through our own performance, and instead trust only in Jesus.
Okay, thank you. So man of God, I saw something here in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2, he said, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit.
Exactly. So he is very clear. That's where he says that repentance from dead work is like a foundation principle. Mm. But, you know, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who had been saved. They had received Jesus, but then they were trying to go back to the law. They
New
were
Testament. Tempted. Mm.
They were excluded from the Jewish synagogue and the Jewish society when they received Jesus. And because of that, they were tempted to go back to the law. And it's because of that, the writer, and we don't know who wrote Hebrews. It could have been Paul. It could have been someone else. But he's saying, let's not go back to repentance from dead works. You already know that your own works can't save you. So you have already repented from that. Don't start trusting your own works again. That's basically what he's saying.
All right. We have 3 more minutes. Finally, here I can see there is trouble here in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17, which says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and much more they which receive abundant of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Of course, we shall reign, but man of God, I see today that the children of God are not reigning.
Hmm.
They are still reigning in condemnation, they are reigning in sickness, they are reigning in poverty. We cannot find, why are we not reigning?
Well, I think the answer is in this verse, Pastor Chris, where it says that we will reign in Christ. How will we reign in Christ? By receiving the abundance of grace, the abundance of grace. So grace is not only a small thing that you get saved through, it's something that sustains your whole life. Paul, the Apostle Peter actually said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge.
Wow.
So we always need to grow in grace.
Man of God, that means it's like the grace is not flowing in us. There is some blockage. Something is blocking the grace not to flow. That is why we are not reigning. Because we are not growing. So if we are not growing, something is wrong with our belief.
And notice from the second, from Romans 5:17 that you read, it's the gift of righteousness. It's not the work of righteousness. It's not the performance of righteousness. It's gift. A gift is something that you receive, although you haven't performed or earned it. So we need to saturate ourselves and receive this abundance of gift of grace and the gift of righteousness, and that will eventually lead to that we think differently, act differently, and start reigning in life.
So now